The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Boston Red Sox make a big splash and a whole lot of noise on a strange November day out of seemingly nowhere. Sonny Gray was not on my radar, nor do I think was he on anyone else's, as we've seen a whole lot of speculation on a whole lot of free agents, a whole lot of potential trade packages, and never once did I see Gray's name come up in conversation. My name is Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Jason Kelly, Doug Aitchison, Terry Cushman Jr., and Chris Felico, and we are the Bastards of Boston. Now, guys, this is an interesting move because it's one of those moves I think is, it's hard to even call it divisive because it was so shocking. There was absolutely no precedent for this, I feel. There was no Sonny Gray camp in the Boston Red Sox fan base prior to this very moment, I don't think. You had a lot of Ranger Suarez, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Joe Ryan, so on and so forth. But Sonny Gray just came out of absolutely nowhere. And the general impression that I'm seeing online is just shock. And from there, it's branching off into people who are pleasantly surprised, maybe, who are now suddenly saying, okay, this is a great move. This is something that's going to help us. And other people that are a lot more disappointed. I think it could go either way depending on a lot of the circumstances around it, but we can start it off with Jason Kelly tonight. How do you feel about the Sonny Gray trade and saying goodbye to Richard Fitt?
Ultimately, I feel pretty good about it. I would label it as it's a good start. This is a good start here. You know, as you said, November 25th, like spring training's 4 months away, so we still have a long offseason ahead of us. This is a good start. Obviously there's the caveat of I'm hoping there's a lot more. I'm hoping this is not the biggest splash we see this offseason because that would be kind of depressing. But overall I like it. And yeah, it did come out of nowhere. Like I was kind of running around this morning texting my mom and it was just Sonny Gray, do we like him? And I was like, does my mom have like the inside track on something? Like what do I not know? And then I go on Twitter, I saw the news. Given what you gave up, I'm fine with it. Like I've been kind of iffy on Richard Fitt, you know, most of the season. Like, I think he's got some talent. I think he could be a back end of a rotation kind of guy, maybe a swing guy somewhere. But he was never someone that I looked at and said, yeah, you can build your future around him. Brandon Clark, I know, made some noise. He kind of rocketed up the prospect rankings this summer. But then it kind of cooled off, and now people are saying he might be more like a bullpen arm. I mean, with these pitchers, you never know. I mean, Terry will tell you, like, 2 years ago, we were getting screamed at for not knowing who Shane Drohan was. And, you know, ended up getting rid of him. Now he's back with the organization somehow. But with these young pitchers, you never know. Like, I think some guys you do. Like, Connelly Early, you know that that's a guy you can develop. He's probably going to be in your rotation in the future. Peyton Tolley, same thing. Brandon Clark is just such a young guy. It's like, we have no idea what he's going to turn into. So, I don't mind what you gave up. I like that Cincinnati threw some money in, or excuse me, St. Louis threw some money in there to kind of help the deal a little bit. Essentially, now it's just, it's another Walker Buehler deal. It's 1 year. It's pretty much near the qualifying offer. So if he can give you more than what Buehler did, which ended up being really nothing, if he has a similar year to last year, I think that's definitely, like I said, a good start to this offseason. You now have a solid number three starter. Still looking for that number two, that true number two. We'll see if that happens. But for now, I'm pretty pleased.
Doug?
Yeah, I think St. Louis throwing in the $20 million is a very, you know, it changes it a lot. Without that, it would. I think it's a terrible move. I think a lot of people would agree. But with that, changes it a lot. I think it's pretty circumstantial, too, with, you know, it's still very early. So there's still a lot of time to make more moves. You know, if we come in April and that's the only move, then in April we can be mad about it. But right now, I think, like Jason said, it's a very good start. And, you know, he's not a bad pitcher, so you're not bringing in someone that's going to hurt your team, right? He's just not what Red Sox fans are looking for right now, I think, is really the feeling among the fans. And, you know, but I think I'm with Jason that it's a start, and he's a good pitcher. You know, he's a solid pitcher. You know, I don't love the move. I definitely don't hate the move. You know, just for a move, just for a trade, just looking at it as a trade, it's a fine move. It's not like we, you know, gave up too much for him or anything like that. But, and with St. Louis throwing in the money, I think it makes it a fine move just looking at it like that in a vacuum. But circumstantially, I think time will tell how good this move is for the team.
Terry.
I haven't seen many Tarek Skubal mock trades in the last 5 hours. And I think this is it, guys. I think this is it. According to Alex Speer, the Red Sox aren't expected to make any more big moves for the starting rotation. There are other moves to come, but I think as far as the starting rotation, this is it. And, you know, it's not really out of line with the theme of the post-Dombrowski era. You know, we're paying Sonny Gray for the season. We're giving him $11 million. That's all we have to cover. We'll almost certainly have to cover the buyout at the end of the year. So I guess that would make it a $21 million deal as far as the Red Sox goes. But it really falls right in line with Garrett Richards, Michael Wacha, Corey Kluber, Lucas Giolito, Patrick Sandoval, and last year, Walker Buehler, all got between $10 and $20 million, all strictly just one-year deals. Well, not with Sandoval, but that's what it became. And the Red Sox just continually put all of their eggs into the basket of the unknown. And it falls way short. If Alex Speer is right, and what Alex Speer is saying falls in line with past precedent, which I just covered, if this is the move, it falls way short of getting a top of the rotation guy. And you look at his numbers at Fenway Park, terrible, only 7 starts, but they're not good. Terrible in Yankee Stadium. He's never been able to pitch as a top of the rotation pitcher for a big market team. All of his success came in small markets. So he's just turned 36 years old this month. So next year will be his age 36 season. You know, and then the other pattern here is we're getting these guys well past their prime. You can look at some metrics and say, well, he had like 400 strikeouts or in the last 2 years, something like that. But he gives up a lot of hard contact. I don't think this is a good move. And I said on recent shows, I think our offense is where we're most vulnerable anyway, but a lot of hype came from that quote. I don't think we'll be signing 4s and 5s. So as Nick said in the open, the names we were talking about were so much bigger. And then we ended up with Sonny Gray.
Chris?
Well, I can guarantee this won't be the biggest splash, because even though this might be the only move, if it is, I will be jumping off a bridge into water, and that will be a much larger splash than this. But in all seriousness, I agree. This is a very circumstantial move because, yeah, I mean, if we go out there and we do get another number two, so that quote, Terry, what it says is one major league source suggests the Red Sox are unlikely to pursue free agent starting pitchers. So if that's the case and we're not going to sign one, I still think that obviously we had our eyes set on people via trade. I didn't have Sonny Gray on my bingo card, that much I can tell you. Gun to my head, I hope we do something. I can't bet on it. Like the amount of people that flamed us on Twitter today for even thinking that the Red Sox could think this was a number two starter was comical, because it's like, you guys have forgotten the last decade and you want to make the argument that we signed Bregman. Yeah. We got rid of double the money with Devers and still haven't replaced it. And we have not signed an elite starting pitcher in some time. Yes, we traded for Garrett Crochet, but we got him on a very reasonable contract. And at face value, if we make the playoffs and go on a deep run and Sonny Gray's a part of it, then yeah, it was worth it. If we don't, I actually don't like the trade. I'm not big on Brandon Clark. I could really give two craps about him because the truth is he's projected to be maybe a good bullpen. Maybe, as far as arm. But you know what? Richard Fitz, not that I was super high on him, but if this doesn't pan out and just another Walker Buehler move or even Giolito move where we get a year out of them and it's like 50-50, then I feel like Richard Fitz could have been in a bigger trade package for a better arm. And that's the disappointing part, because I think you look at a Richard Fitz and a Hunter Dobbins, and those are guys that you could put in a package and get something better than a Sonny Gray. So again, that's why I say this is very circumstantial. And, you know, I see a lot of people out there like, oh, this is number two. This is the replacement for Giolito. Well, with the stats that he has at Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium, yeah, he's a perfect fit to replace Giolito, because that guy did absolutely nothing for us when we needed it. Yeah, he had a good run for about 2 months, and we all felt good about it, me included. But when we really needed him at the end of the year, yeah, he got hurt and he wasn't there. And granted, Sonny Gray has been reliable when it comes to injuries, but I mean, looking at these stats at Fenway Park, 0-4, 6.84 ERA, 37 hits, 20 earned runs, 11 walks, 19 Ks in 26.1 innings pitched in 7 games, 6 of them being starts. I mean, that doesn't move me. And it shouldn't. The truth is, like, when I look at that, I kind of get mad and say, you know what? I could have gotten that out of Fitz. I watched Richard Fitz on Sunday Night Baseball in Yankee Stadium 2 times in the last 2 years go out there and shove it to the Yankees, and we got wins in a big spot. Can't say the same about Sonny Gray in a big spot. Yeah, he's got some impressive stats that look good because he's one of 3 names, including Garrett Crochet and Tarik Skubal. But let's not be mistaken. He is not Garrett Crochet, and he certainly isn't Tarik Skubal, and nor does he have the same age, right? Like I think Terry said, we have this propensity to keep bringing in these guys that are either projects coming off of injury or guys that are 1 or 2 years past their prime, or hoping that these reclamation projects and a mixture of like, we can get them to be what they once were or what they were last year. And my fear is that we're going to be in the same boat. So again, I'm going to try and not be negative, even though I just completely crapped on this move for 5 minutes. But again, I think it's very circumstantial, and time will tell, like Doug said, how this pans out. But it will not be the biggest splash, I promise you that.
Yeah, it's a really interesting move just for everything that you guys have mentioned. It's one of those things that if this is our number two, I think it's a risky one. You know, Sonny Gray is a good pitcher. I think he still has gas in the tank, and I have no doubt that he's going to pitch well next year. But the problem is that this is ultimately a guy going into his age 36 season and then his age 37 season, and that's it as far as the Red Sox are concerned. You are putting a lot of stock in an aging guy who has had a couple of, albeit unlucky, but down years, if you look at his past 2 years in St. Louis. Now, you look under the hood, you look at the FIP, you look at the Savant page, it's good. It's very good. He actually led the league last year in strikeouts per walks, which is one reason to be excited. There's a lot of K percentage on this guy, a lot of strikeout ability, a lot of whiff ability. I know that he has some particularly nasty breaking balls that, you know, I'm sure Andrew Bailey is going to love to tool around with. He's also got excellent control, doesn't give up that hard a contact, and is able to work around an ultimately pretty slow fastball. I like Sonny Gray, don't get me wrong, but some of the language I'm hearing from Breslow, that's what I don't like. You know, the idea that, and I have a few quotes up here, I don't know how much sense it makes in November to put a number on a guy when asked if Sonny Gray would be the number two. That's a very political answer. And while, yes, you can say technically that's true, you can't really say what a guy is going to be in a rotation on November 25th. I mean, you just mentioned putting a number on a guy, right? You just mentioned, as Terry said, we need a top of the rotation guy, not a 3, not a 4, not a 5. We need number one or a number two. So you can put number twos on guys, apparently. But now that we have them in the organization, we're not so sure. He says, we still intend to improve our team. Exactly what that looks like, we don't know right now. There's just a lot of avoidance, you know, and that's what we've been getting from Breslow. Unfortunately, he's a very political candidate when it comes to baseball operations. One word that was used, according to Alex Speier, was an opportunistic approach. And that's a frightening one to me. Opportunism is not necessarily the word that I was looking for from the Red Sox this offseason. I was looking for aggression, you know, more than anything. And while you don't want to overpay, and I don't necessarily think we overpaid, like Doug said, I think the $20 million is a huge game changer. When I heard the initial money being tossed around, I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? But, you know, if this is our number two, I don't like it, especially because of how early it seems to come. Like, I'd like to see some other names come off the board before we pivot. Like, what does Ranger Suarez get? What is, you know, these more permanent solutions in free agency get? Maybe we'd rather spend the money on a bat, but I mean, I don't know. It feels like a very premature move almost. And you know how last year Garrett Crochet was sort of this pivot off of Max Fried? This almost feels like a pivot before the guy even comes off the board. This is the pivot to Joe Ryan before Joe Ryan had the door slammed. Maybe it did behind closed doors, but before Ranger Suarez comes off the board, or Valdez, or Cease, or anyone, you know? So that's just my concern right now, is like, if this is the guy, you're putting a lot of eggs in one basket, and there's a real chance it bites us. If this is simply a move to free up Bayo, for example, to feel more comfortable, you know, moving that dude in a trade for someone else like Joe Ryan, that could be very interesting. The only thing that I will say in Sonny Gray's defense before I go back around the horn with reactions is that some of the projections really love him. And, you know, you can only put so much faith in projections, of course, but I was very surprised to go onto FanGraphs and look at the 2026 streamer and see the top pitchers. What is that website predicting? And according to that, Sonny Gray has a higher projected WAR, according to their model, than any other name on the market right now, higher than Suarez, even higher than Ryan. It actually puts him at 9th on the list of starting pitchers. Definitely going to temper my expectations and not say that that's what we're going to get, but there is some hope here. Jason, thoughts?
Yeah, so I'm with you in terms of Breslow's comments today after the trade. The one that stuck out to me was that they're not going to pivot, and they're going to focus on getting a bat, which, okay, good. We all agree they need a right-handed power bat, like, badly, you know, and I think most of us are in the Pete Alonso camp here, whether it's Alonso or it's Eugenio Suarez, someone like that. So that's good. I'm glad that they are now addressing that need instead of just letting it go by the wayside. But why are you pivoting to that right now? Is it because, as you said, did they get locked out of the Joe Ryan talks? Was it, you know, are we pivoting because Minnesota told you to take your Joe Ryan offer and shove it? Or are you pivoting because does he have a sense that, well, if we don't do this now, Alonso is going to go off the market by Christmas. So we have to get in there now and start negotiating with him. Is there a sense of urgency there? That's what I'm more curious about, because you're right. Like, to pivot away from pitching after getting Sonny Gray, who, again, Breslow can dress it up all he wants. Any smart fan knows Sonny Gray is not the number two that you said you were going to go get. So he just isn't. I don't care. Like, yeah, he's a analytics darling. The expected stats are really good on him. But Breslow's got to know the fans are not that stupid. Like, we know Gray is a number three at best, you know, again, entering his age 36 season. Again, nice move, but not what you said you're really going to do, which is that you said you're going to act with more urgency and go and really get a solid number two behind Crochet. So he can't pivot away from that and say, oh, no, we're done now. All these free agents that are on the board and all the guys that we could trade for, yeah, we're done. We're going to go get our bat now. Like, that's what I'm hoping is not the case. So, and the free agent pitchers, like, there is a drop off after sort of the upper echelon of like Ranger Suarez, you know, and then Dylan Cease, if you want to put him in that category. I know a lot of people don't, but I think he's pretty high up there. You know, after that, it's like Zach Gallen. Like, I'm good. I'm all set. Framber Valdez, I think, is in that upper echelon, but he's kind of a basket case. So, not sure you want to deal with him, you know, trying to kill Carlos Novarez halfway through the season. But then there's also the trade targets. Like, again, Joe Ryan's one of them, but Sandy Alcantara is still out there, and you could probably get him for a song from the Marlins. And, you know, if you believe that you can, like a reclamation project there, which we know the Red Sox love those, because right now, like, I saw a projection for their starting rotation earlier, and it was like Crochet, Sonny Gray, Bayo. I think they had Early as the number four, and then it was like Patrick Sandoval, he's number five. And I went, oh, I forgot about that guy. Like, once again, just the next guy in the long list of James Paxton, who was useless, Giolito, who worked for three quarters of a season, like, just another one of these guys. Like, yep, forgot about him. And knowing the Red Sox, they're like, yeah, no, we've got our rotation. You guys forgot about Patrick Sandoval. He's going to be great. It's like, Patrick Sandoval, I think, is like 19-42 on his career. Like, and I, you know, maybe that's just part of playing for the Angels his whole career. Like, that could be part of it. But he sucked before he got hurt. What makes you think he's going to be any good after missing a whole year? So there's other options out there. I just hope that the pivot is because we want to get our bat before the bat comes off the market, and then we'll circle back to the starting rotation. We'll see who's still available. Joe Ryan will probably still be out there. You know, maybe then we make a trade. But if he's pivoting because he doesn't have confidence that they can either sign or make a deal for any of these other starting pitchers, then boy, you better hope you get Pete Alonso or Schwarber or something, because we're quickly heading towards a possible failure of an offseason.
Doug.
Yeah, my big question right now is, if Terry is right and this is the only move we make, is he the number two starter over Bayo?
I would say yes, personally.
Experience-wise, yeah, but ability-wise, like, Bayo Red should Sox be able experience, to get out of him.
I don't know, you know. Bayo's a homegrown guy that's been here, was the number one guy, was the number two guy. I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Well, I don't see how they could put him at two, because when you come out and say you need a number two with Bayo on the roster, you're basically telling Bayo you're not our number two. And to be fair, I think they're pretty low on him after his performance in the playoffs. Now, do I agree with you out of the two of them? I mean, you could flip a coin. They're both a 50-50 shot when they take the mound. But as far as the Red Sox look at it, it's clearly Sonny Gray, because they already admitted to you that they needed a two before they got Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
So another kind of epiphany for me is when I look at the money, $11 million per year, for the year rather, and then you look at the trade market, there was a lot of Tarek Skubal talk here. I think money is important. I think I'm trying to look back to, like, direct quotes to where Breslow says, oh yeah, money's not an option. And those aren't out there. I think we all just assume that based on other comments. And so, you know, when we're clinging to the hope of a Joe Ryan, who would command an extension right away, even though he's got an extra year of control versus Skubal, who only has one. When I look at the fact that they probably targeted Sonny Gray in large part because they could get the St. Louis Cardinals to eat most of that money, that tells me they're not going to trade for a Joe Ryan or Tarek Skubal, because there's going to be a massive extension involved with that. I think that would have been priority number one, not Gray. So I just think the writing on the wall is that Gray will be the only guy. Maybe they trade for someone that they like that's kind of maybe not quite established yet. Maybe it could be an Alcantara type guy. I don't know. But the other thing I wanted to point out here is you look at Gray versus Giolito, and I see a lot of the nerds saying, you know, Gray got unlucky last year and Giolito got lucky. I really don't care about that, because the results would still be the same theoretically if Gray ends up being good. And if they're about the same, then you have the same rotation as last year. It's the same rotation. And I look at Brian Bayo as a regression candidate. He was just so good last year. I hope I'm wrong. I want to be wrong about that so bad. And I do like Brian Bayo, but I think he's going to be a regression candidate. I'm cautiously optimistic that Connelly Early will give you a very good season. I don't know if he makes the team out of camp, but he'll pitch most of the season, you know, assuming last year wasn't a fluke. But it's essentially the same rotation to me with the same upside as last year. Secondly, let's look at the lineup now. Let's say you only get Bregman. Let's say Bregman's the guy and that's it. I don't think we're getting two bats based on my observation with we're probably not trading for a starting pitcher only to give him a big extension. That tells me there's probably only one bat that's going to be signed. Okay. Let's say it's Alex Bregman. It's the same lineup as last year. So you've got the same rotation with the same upside, the same lineup with the same upside. It's the same team and it's not good enough. And when I look at the Sonny Gray trade, I still look at it as Breslow just doesn't know how to, you know, solve problems. And as I posted on social media for everyone saying it's this amazing trade, we gave up almost nothing. We, you know, we're paying almost nothing, basically. Why couldn't another team beat that? If Sonny Gray is so desirable, that's a very beatable trade. Somebody could go in there and outbid Craig Breslow, but nobody did. Nobody did. So Heim Bloom might finally win a trade. I don't know. So, I mean, he won a couple. I'm not going to say he never did. He won the Abreu trade. There might be one more in there. But anyway, so it's the same team to me. At the end of the day, it's not going to be much different. And we still have the same executive that can't solve problems. That's probably going to be diving into someone's dumpster in July to try to get a guy that another team DFA'd.
Well, if you're right, Terry, this will be the latest in a year the Cardinals have beaten the Red Sox in a really long time, which is probably much needed for them. But, I mean, it's hard to argue with what you're saying. I mean, I was thinking the exact same thing. I don't think we're getting two bats, even though we all know we need two bats. And what scares the crap out of me, if it ends up being one, I feel like it's going to be Bregman. And it's not that Bregman's not a good player, but it's essentially the same team. And I just... to go into the season with essentially the same exact team, how could you be moved? Like, all right, great. We have Roman Anthony, but like inevitably people are going to get hurt. Hopefully it's not him, but what if he does? And then even if he doesn't, what if Bregman gets hurt again? What if Marcelo Meyer gets hurt again? You're going to be missing someone. What if Carlos Narvaez completely just fell off and he really isn't as good as we thought? You know, we're talking about JT Realmuto rumors out there. We might actually need him in that case. But, you know, I'm going to hold out a slimmer of hope that maybe the Sonny Gray trade makes Brian Bello expendable at this point. Because I saw that talk out there today, not by anyone, although there was one report that did say that it basically would make Brian Bello potentially expendable in a Joe Ryan / Tarik Skubal trade. That's the only way that I could really see this potentially being positive at this point. And I'm fine with Brian Bello being gone. I've never been that high on him. Yeah, he had an okay season, but it wasn't good enough for me to say we have to keep Brian Bello. Not if it's to really upgrade this rotation. And let's face it, I mean, Brian Bello is on a really reasonable contract. So for the Twins, that's very digestible for them. For any other team that can't afford their pay, their $400 million pitcher, pretty digestible. Do I think the Red Sox can execute it and we'll get it done? Probably not. That's the part that scares me. And then as far as getting one bat, I mean, even if it was just Pete Alonso, while I would be happier with that than Bregman, there's still so many damn holes on this team that I don't necessarily know that we have, especially when you're talking about the infield, we don't really have the prospect pool and really like anyone in AAA that's going to fill a long time. I mean, for God's sakes, I was projecting the Sox, if they execute on the trades that I want, to freaking have Nick Sogard playing second, right? And like, I'd be happy with that if it meant getting Fernando Tatis, Pete Alonso, and trading for Tarik Skubal. We're probably not going to get any of those damn things. So I don't know what the answer is at this point, but again, I don't want to be super negative because I'm still holding out hope that there might be a universe in reality where We have guys that are expendable that we didn't expect, and maybe Sonny Gray is just the tip of the iceberg, and we're really trying to keep it close to the chest. It's just with the way things have gone for the last 6-7 years, how could you not be scared that this might be it? And if it is, oh my God.
Yeah. You know, I don't blame the people who are being optimistic. I don't blame the people who are saying it's too early to, you know, hit the panic button. But I also don't disagree with the cynicism, you know, because ultimately what you said, Terry, you're absolutely correct that if we bring back Bregman and that's our big move and we go into next year and, you know, Tristan Casas is playing first base for us, and if he gets injured, we have no one to back him up. You know, if that's the same type of hell that we're going back into willingly, then this team isn't getting better. It's solely focused on not getting worse. We clearly last year, despite going into the season with high expectations, we stumbled at various points along the way. And you can say that injuries were a part of that. You can say the Devers fiasco was a part of that. But at the end of the day, you make your bed and you have to sleep in it. This team needs to create something foolproof almost, right? We need to take the next step and elevate this roster with exactly what everyone has been saying, power bats. I mean, you need home runs in this lineup because you guys mentioned that Bayo might be a regression candidate, which I agree with. I'm afraid that Trevor Story might be a regression candidate. And unfortunately, he was somehow one of our big home run hitters last year. I'm not too sure that I would guarantee that he'll be in the same position. You know, what you said, Terry, about Sonny Gray matching Giolito's production, that's true. You know, if you think about it, it's funny. I had to think about it for a minute, but you're right. I mean, really, a guy pitching with a 3.3 ERA, that's sort of the ideal. I think it's a little unfair to predict anything, you know, significantly higher than that. So really, the only upside Gray gives you from Giolito's production last year is maybe you trust him in a big game more, but then to all of your points, look at him in Yankee Stadium. Look at him, you know, in Fenway. Look at him when he did have big moments. I mean, he's certainly not a champion, not to say he's not a winner, but, you know, this is not necessarily the big market pitcher that we maybe wanted. Then again, neither's Joe Ryan. So there's just a lot of stuff going on here where this is going to be viewed as ultimately the sum of its parts, right? This is one cog in a big machine, and we need to go out there and hopefully add not just a guy who can play either third or second base with power, whether it's Bregman, whether it's Ketel Marte, even Jorge Polanco, I've been warming up to a little bit, although honestly, maybe I would bump him over to first base with his defense. Maybe that's the answer, you know? He at least gives you, you know, 25 home runs maybe. But you need something. You know, earlier in the season, we saw a report that the wish list for the Sox was a number two starter, a big, big bat, and then a complimentary bat. Personally, I would like two big bats. But, I mean, ultimately, this is just going to come down to two things, and that is John Henry's wallet, you know, and his willingness to part with it. And it's also going to come to Breslow's ability to negotiate. What can he go? He says he wants to be opportunistic. Now's the time to be opportunistic, man. Go around and find something else for us. One thing that does seem certain, I know we said it in the war room before, when the trade initially broke and we didn't see the return and we didn't see the money coming our way. It is looking like Yoshida is probably going to be on the Red Sox next year. Any thoughts, guys?
Go ahead.
So the only thing that concerned me, as much as I still do, I liked the trade and, you know, initially I liked it and all that. But then when you saw the part about the money, I kind of went, it's John Henry penny pinching again. Because at the end of the day, if he just swallowed the rest of the contract, which they could have, they absolutely have the capability to do, you're probably only giving up like a low-level minor leaguer or maybe just Richard Fitz and not Brandon Clarke as well. Like, I feel like they had to throw in an extra guy to get St. Louis to send you the money. So it's like, okay, it was clever in a way, but it's still John Henry being like, that number's a little too high for me. Can we send you one of our young left-handers? Because, you know,
pitching depth doesn't matter. Can we send you one of those guys and you can knock off like 20 million? That'd be great. Yeah, then we'll do the deal. So that's where I look at it and I go, I know that they say they want the impact power bat and they want the true number two. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the guy at the top, and that's John Henry. You mentioned it's his wallet, right? Like, is he really going to be willing to break the bank for Pete Alonso and a true number two? Because as Terry mentioned, you trade for Joe Ryan, you've got to sign him to an extension. You trade for Tarik Skubal, you're signing him to a big extension. So is Henry really willing to do that? I feel like he was so relieved to get Devers money off the books that, you know, you present those ideas to him, he's going to go, well, why the hell did I trade Rafael Devers if I just had to take on $300 million in payroll all over again? So that's the part that, like, if you haven't been paying attention as a Red Sox fan, you're sitting here going, oh, don't worry, they're going to spend the money. Are you sure? Because they typically don't. They typically don't like to. So this is why people like us here on November 25th are saying, this makes us a little nervous. Like, yeah, it's a good move, but it's a little nerve-wracking if this is going to be it. And, you know, we get shouted down on Twitter, oh, you guys are always negative, and you guys would find something wrong with even the best news. It's like, talk to me on February 25th, and let me know if we have Pete Alonso or Joe Ryan or even, like, a Dylan Cease or anything. Or is it just, hey, Tristan Costa's rehab's going really well. We think he's going to be healthy for the full 162. Like, because it could be that. So that's why it's just, I agree, it's still early. We got 4 months until pitchers and catchers. So take a little bit of a breath, but also remember who's in charge of the money. And this is why it makes us nervous.
So basically, where I was about to go was, I was thinking about the line from Moneyball when Billy Beane was going to trade Carlos Pena. And Jonah Hill says, Billy, you realize this is the move that gets you fired, possibly. And if you could go back a week when I'm like pounding the Kool-Aid, I'm like, all right, you know, I wasn't like back on Breslow, but I'm like, all right, we're going to do something. And I was thinking if Breslow did get, let's just say Joe Ryan, let's say he signed Pete Alonso, he got another bat. Let's just say Polanco. Let's just stay modest with the second bat. I would have said if he made those three moves, most likely he doesn't get fired because the effort was there. He tried. He gave us a better team than we've had even from last year. I would have said he doesn't get fired. If this ends up being underwhelming, and we don't get Alonso, and Gray is the only pitcher, and we miss the postseason, I'd say at least a 50% chance he gets fired. And
agreed.
And I hope it happens if we miss.
Yeah, if that happens, I hope it happens, yeah.
They don't really disclose the contract terms a lot for executives. Typically, it's 3 to 5 years, so I don't know what they would have given him. Breslow at the time would have had a ton of leverage because he was their 11th choice. And if he tells them to go pound sand, then what kind of a situation are they in? But I hope he knows his ass could be on the line. And I hope I'm wrong about a lot of what I've said tonight. I don't think I will be, but I hope I am. And you know, it's just, it's a vicious cycle. And we made the postseason last year, not because we were good. We made it because of circumstances is why we made it. And I think the team overachieved a little bit. And, you know, when you're constantly put in a situation where you're overachieving, things get kind of heavy. And I don't know if they can carry it another season like they did last year.
Yeah, every rumor now is basically just, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, it's kind of hard to look into those and actually believe these big moves are actually going to happen. You know, and I'm an optimistic guy, and it's just, at this point, it's just like, let me see it when it actually happens.
Doug's turning into like the Homer going back into the, yeah. To the bushes.
Doug's getting bastardized.
No, but it's the truth. Until we see something really happen, because I think that was my quote today, he's like, we're not even a real team. And I'll do you one better, Terry. If this is the only move he makes, he should be fired immediately. I know he won't be. Because the truth is, even if everything goes right and you have Roman Anthony going into the playoffs, the most you're getting out of this team is maybe you win the wild card round. Hell, you know what? I'll take it a step further. Maybe you get lucky, you catch lightning in a bottle, and you win a DS. Your top end is going to be 2021. You're going to lose miserably in the championship series. And even if you get out of that, you're not winning a World Series. And we need to get back to a standard where the goal is to win a World Series. Because I'm watching it here in New York. That used to be the Yankee standard. It's not anymore. And the truth is, they were the standard at one point. They're not. But I don't want to follow them down the same damn path where it's like just chasing the playoffs is good enough. It's not. And we're not there every year like the Yankees. So it certainly shouldn't be good enough here in Boston.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, just to switch gears, we know that Heim always liked to run a pretty tight ship. You know, you didn't get too many leaks in his organization. You can say that Breslow, you know, runs a pretty tight ship too, more in terms of ruling with an iron fist somewhat. We know that anyone who does leak stuff seems to get rooted out pretty quick. I mean, there was no rumors about Sonny Gray. So either this just happened, literally, like it was one of those shake and bake type of things where at the drop of the hat, you know, they call each other up and say, hey, yeah, maybe we can make this work. Or it was cooking for a little bit. And, you know, that's just a testament to both organizations' silence policy, right? It is interesting, though, because I would love to peer behind the curtain. How long was this, you know, in the works? How long was Sonny Gray on our radar? Is this a guy that maybe we looked into at the deadline? You know, I don't think that that's too ridiculous, you know, to think about, especially with what we ended up with, you know? So I don't know. It's going to be one of those, not to sound like a broken record, but it's just going to have to be viewed in the context of the situation. You need a good pitching staff. Sonny Gray can be a part of that without a doubt, but I mean, you need a lot more for the Sox, whether that comes in the form of a real number two, trading Bayo, you know, doing all this. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, Connelly Early and Dobbins, you know, we'll know who they are by next year. You know, this is a stall for time move, right? It gets a guy who could be a top of the rotation arm until we grow one. There's no guarantee that we grow one, you know, and then we're really out of luck, you know. And one other little refutation I would just throw out to that point that I just raised is the idea that that is a move that is solely focused on 27. When I want to be focused on 26, you know, we have an opportunity to go out there and make it to a World Series. If we add to this roster, if we take the talent that we have and we complement it and fill in the holes. But I mean, with the offense that we've been trotting out, with some of the defense, I mean, we have a couple butchers out there. Sonny Gray's a ground baller, by the way, you know, so if you don't get anyone to play third or second base, I mean, I don't even know what that's going to look like. You know, you have Marcelo Meyer and a bunch of clowns, you know, it's scary, you know, but it's just one of those things where you have to, unfortunately, sit and wait. And I've seen people complaining over the past few days on Twitter and whatnot saying, oh God, why is this offseason so slow? You know, and that's unfortunately just the part of it, is these negotiations seem to be taking longer and longer every single year. You know, I've mentioned in the past, I'll say it again, I'm sure that one of the big names will be, much like past years, still looking to sign somewhere come spring training. And we're just unfortunately going to have to wait and have faith that Breslow knows what he's doing. Because if he doesn't, boy, oh boy, are we going to have a lot to talk about next year.
Yeah, it's the baseball offseason is long. So, and this is why, you know, I emphasize a good start and, you know, we got 4 months of this, right? And as you said, like, they could trade for Joe Ryan on March 1st. Like, it, you know, that could be a possibility. So it's a long offseason, which makes it frustrating when a move like this happens. And then Breslow opens his mouth, which I know he has to do the press conference, but saying stuff like, oh, no, we're still going to improve the team, but now we're going to pivot to a bat. And it's like, well, but What do you mean? Like, what do you mean you're going to pivot now? Like, it's just, so that's what kind of makes it like, for us, having had so many bad off seasons, so many bad trade deadlines this last couple of years, it's like frustrating because you want him just do it. Like, or just come out and say, no, we're still committed to getting, you know, a top end starter. It's like, okay, I'd feel better if I heard that, but he's not going to say that. Right. So, and he probably can't because he doesn't know. I'm sure he wants Joe Ryan, but I don't know if those negotiations with Minnesota are going very well. So, because it feels like they've been down on Joe Ryan for an eternity and haven't gotten a deal done. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of wait and see. Obviously, the winter meetings will reveal a lot when those come up. But, yeah, I mean, this is the move you have for now. And I will say, like, the Red Sox right now are stealing all the headlines. Like, no one else has done anything really of consequence. Not anything major. So, you know, this is a splash, quote unquote, but at least they did something. They're not just sitting on their thumbs. So let's hope it's just kind of the precursor to bigger moves.
Yeah. Any thoughts from any of you guys? Anything we haven't already said?
Well, there's one thing that's pretty interesting about this trade that I just realized. This is, you know, Sonny Gray is an extension of the Mookie Betts trade because Betts got us Verdugo, who got us Fitz, who got us Sonny Gray. So we can never avoid the Mookie Betts trade.
It is funny how stuff like that works. I honestly love like those web, like trade webs that you can, you know, dial back to, oh, well, you know, if you look at this trade in the 90s, actually, it kind of set all the dominoes in motion for this one. You know, it's always funny to see. Yeah, you know, I guess the last thing that I have to say really is just, it's going to be really interesting. I brought up, you know, the FanGraphs model before that says, oh, Sonny Gray is going to be, you know, a top 10 pitcher, according to what they're looking at. But overall, if you look at the depth chart, you know, when it comes to all the teams, I mean, the Red Sox are in the conversation, and I'm not sure if this is with Sonny Gray factored into the team yet. It's possible it hasn't updated, but we're still right around the same mark as, funnily enough, the Braves, you know, the Blue Jays, the Mariners, who are all towards the top, granted, they're top five, but I don't know. I would really, really prefer to be just a leg ahead of that competition right now. You know, I don't want to be in a wild card race next year. I would really like to be in a divisional race and hope for the best that, you know, we can take it and hopefully make a deep playoff run. Because as Chris said before, this is a team that is starting to feel like every postseason appearance is a celebration for the front office. And it's not for the fan base yet, but you give us another 10 years, you know, with this nonsense. And that's how you can really erode a winning culture, you know? So fingers crossed that that's not what happens. And then this move is hopefully setting us up for a good 26 where we can get back to where we were. I mean, really 6-7 years ago. All righty.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh my God.
I think that's all there is to say. So thank you everyone for joining us. Hopefully sometime soon we'll have a bat to do an episode like this on. It would be real sweet. And you would hear very little negativity if this episode, you know, comes out, you know, in a few weeks that says full reaction to the Pete Alonso signing, you know what I mean? So that's all we can do, unfortunately, is hold out hope. My name is Nick. I've been joined by Jason, Doug, Terry, and Chris. We have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everyone. Go Red Sox.